God has blessed each one of us, and God has blessed us to be a blessing. We're going to talk about that, especially as it relates to knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. If we really want to make Jesus known, one of the greatest ways is by being a blessing to others. We're going to talk about that this morning. In the book of Genesis, God spoke to Abram, and he says this, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. Say it with me this morning, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. The cool thing about this is the same promise and the same covenant that God gave to Abraham, it runs through the generations right to us. God says, I want to bless you, and I want to make you a blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you right now for your word that gives us life. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and change us from the inside out. Lord, we're already blessed, but Lord, let us be blessed to be a blessing to others. And we pray this right now in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word, on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You sound so good today. There's a set of notes that you received this morning. You're going to really, really, really need notes today. So just make sure that you got a set of notes. In case we missed you, just lift your hand long enough to receive a set of notes. So today, the word of the Lord is, you are blessed to be a blessing. And in your notes, it's a great thing to be blessed, but it's an even greater thing to be a blessing. So it's one thing to be blessed, but it's an even a whole other thing to be a blessing to others. And I want you to write this down in your notes as well. I am blessed to be a blessing. And then I want you to say it with me. Say it with me. I am blessed to be a blessing. Now, this morning, I want to talk, first of all, about a premise. And the premise is how we got to be blessed and why we're supposed to be a blessing. It all started with Abraham, all right? Or really, it started with Abram, who would become Abraham. And the Lord spoke to Abram and said, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I'm going to give to you. So he says, I want you to go from your country, from your people, from your father's household to the land I'm going to show you. And then the Bible says that Abraham went out. He's 75 years old, pretty long in age already. God, what is this you're calling me to do? But he went even not knowing where he was going or how this was all going to pan out. What I'm trying to say this morning is that he was obedient to the command from the Lord. And obedience was the beginning of blessing for Abram, all right? So in your notes, if you want to live a blessed life, it begins with living an obedient life. I couldn't tell you anything more straightforward than that this morning. And I've lived this all of my life. I'm talking about just really aiming at obedience. If you want to live a blessed life, live an obedient life. Can I get a witness here this morning? The more obedient you are, the more blessed you will be. Say that with me this morning. The more obedient I am, the more blessed I will be. Now, how many of you know that that statement that I just said is flat out true? Oh, I need a better witness than that. Let me just put it this way. How many of you have ever been disobedient and it cost you more than you wanted to pay? But then you became obedient and you were blessed in a greater way. When we walk in obedience, we're walking in a blessing. And then he says this, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And your name is going to be made great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I'm going to curse those who curse you. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Watch this. The peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, the same covenant that was given to Abram, who would become Abraham, that covenant went from generation to generation, all the way down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and then all the way forward in history to us today. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. And if you really want a study that'll fascinate you, I'm talking about as far as covenants and the Abrahamic covenant, our church, I'm talking about the church in the world today, is hinged to that covenant that God gave to Abraham. And we're blessed because Abraham obeyed. Because of his obedience, God blessed him and blessed people through him. But now through history, all the way up to present day, we walk in that same kind of covenant. So not only are you blessed to be a blessing, you were born to be a blessing. I don't know if you thought about that before, but you're born to be a blessing. In fact, the Bible says we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So I want you to see this morning. Before you were ever knit together in your mother's womb, God had a plan for your life. And one part of the plan for your life was that you would be a person that would do good works. He had this plan in advance for you. And then the question becomes, well, when should we be a blessing and to whom? Well, the Bible answers that as well. It says, so then as we have opportunity, that's the when, let us do good to everyone, that's to who, and especially those who are of the household of faith. So here's the sequence. Be a blessing on all occasions. Whenever you can be a blessing, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. So our family, the family of believers that we have right here says, do good to everyone, but especially of those who are of the household of faith. You can kind of apply this to your own family. How many of you know it's your desire to do good to everyone, but I'm telling you what, if anyone in your family has, a need, how many of you know that they get kind of priority right now? If someone in your family, same way with the church, all right? Now, being a blessing really begins with how we treat one another. And how we treat one another makes such a big difference. The Bible says, in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you, for this sums up the law and prophets. So in everything, in all of our actions, treat people the way that you would like them to treat you. And sometimes we kind of get stumbled on that one. Sometimes we're rude to some people. We don't like it when people are rude to us. Can I get a witness? And so treat people kindly, and generally speaking, they'll treat you kindly back. I try as often as I can to have a smile on my face. And how do you know in the morning before you've had your coffee, it's hard to smile? And then you'll walk into the Starbucks or wherever you're getting a cup of coffee, and there'll be these people that have not had their first coffee are not in good space, in a good place right there, generally speaking. Be careful around people that are decaffeinated. Can I get a witness? Amen? Be careful around them. And because they're looking for that caffeine fix. And so they could be edgy or whatever, but smile at them. Don't be grouchy in the morning. Be happy in the morning. And you can make yourself, just in other words, I'm going to be happy. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So in other words, you can choose to be like, I'm just going to drag myself in today, gloom, despair, and misery on me. Or you can say, no, this is a good day, and see how people respond to you. So you were born to be a blessing, and we be careful about how you treat others. In fact, the golden rule says this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now we've talked about the premise, but let's talk about the parable that kind of demonstrates this and bears it out, all right? And the parable this morning is going to be of the Good Samaritan. I've heard this story ever since I was a little kid in Sunday school. How many of you were ever in Sunday school? Look at all those hands. I'm really surprised. That's great. And they used to have, when I was a kid in Sunday school, flannel boards. And they'd have flannel boards, and they'd put little pictures up on the flannel board. The kids today are going, what is a flannel board? Is that something that's digital? Is that an iPad? Is that a digital screen? What is that? Is that a video? No, it was a flannel board. And then they put up kind of like cutouts of characters. And one of the stories they would tell was certainly the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Well, let's read it this morning out of the book of Luke chapter 10. One day, an expert in religious law, a lawyer, stood up to test Jesus, asking him this question. Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? He just wanted to know. So Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? The law of Moses is the five books of Moses, or the Pentateuch. Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say, and how do you read it? What do you make of it? And the man answered, he knew what the law of Moses was. He said, well, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So to distill it, he said, you need to love God and love others. Say it with me this morning. Love God and love others. And Jesus said, right. You've got it right. Do this and you will live. Let me just put that into a little context right now. If we just love God and love others, Jesus said, do this and you will live. So the man, a lawyer, an expert in religious law, he's a lawyer, so he had a follow-up question. He wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus gave him this illustration talking about the story of the Good Samaritan. He said a Jewish man was traveling on a trip to Jerusalem from Jerusalem to Jericho, and I filled this in with the notes. This was about a 17-mile journey on a road that was known to be dangerous due to the robbers who would hide in caves along the way and then attack their victims. And he was attacked by bandits. So he was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, about a 17-mile walk, and he was attacked by bandits along the way. They stripped him of his clothes and money, and then they beat him up and left him for dead alongside beside the road. And you can see the photo there, or the picture, the depiction. It always has four characters if it's a good depiction, if it's an accurate depiction. It has the Jewish man who is left for dead. It has the priest and the Levite who walked by on the other side. But then it also has the good Samaritan who came by to help. Now, by chance, here the story goes on, by chance a Jewish priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and he passed him by. Watch this. A Jewish priest who you thought would have been the first person to help him was the last person to help him. It didn't help him at all. He saw him, if this monitor right here is the man that was injured, he saw him, but right when he saw him, he just kind of, and he walked on by. Then a Levite came up to him, and the Levite was a temple assistant, and a Levite came by, and the Levite walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. So the Levite, a little bit better than the priest, you know, as far as in what he did, but he just walked by, just looked at the man, looked him over, and then he turned and just walked away. How many know that that didn't do the man any good? Can I get a witness? Just didn't do the man any good. Then the Good Samaritan. The Bible, and they didn't call him the Good Samaritan here, it called him the Despised Samaritan. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt deep pity. A despised Samaritan. Why did he call him a despised Samaritan? Because Samaritans and Jews didn't mix, because Samaritans had married outside the Jewish faith, and many times their faith, their Jewish faith, they mixed it with idolatry. So it was a mix of Judaism and also idol worship, so they would marry into that kind of a cultural distinction. They weren't pure Jews anymore, so the Jews looked down on them. Not only did they look down on them, they despised them. They weren't just held with disdain, but they despised them. So the Samaritan comes out. How do you know that the Samaritan would have been about the last person you'd have thought had been ministering to a Jew? Because you know he would have known he'd have been criticized by that person. Well, the Samaritan, the Bible says, kneeling down beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine. He poured on oil and wine. The oil would have been like a salve that he'd put on the wound. And then the wine would have been like a disinfectant that he'd put on on the wound. And then he bandaged him up. And then he put the man on his own donkey. Say with me, on his own donkey. And he took him to an inn where he took care of him. He took care of him at the inn. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver and told him to take care of the man. And he says, if his bill runs higher, he said, I'll pay the difference the next time that I'm here if his bill runs over. Now notice, this good Samaritan, in trying to help this injured man, 3 things at least. Notice that he was, first of all, he was interrupted. How do you know that when you're going to help other people, especially those who are really in a hurting place in life, you're going to be interrupted? But when you feel like you're interrupted, remember that Jesus was one of the most interrupted persons who ever walked the earth, and he turned every interruption into some kind of a blessing. Can I get a witness? It was an opportunity to be a blessing. So if you ever feel like, man, I just feel like I'm just interrupted right now, just remember that Jesus was interrupted more than any of us. And he still turned that interruption into an opportunity. So the next thing was he was inconvenienced. How many know that we've all been inconvenienced? And anytime you're working with people that are just really needing help, many times you'll be inconvenienced, but turn that into an opportunity to be a blessing as well. And then he was also invoiced. And by invoice is sometimes it's going to cost you something to help someone else. Sometimes you can do it for free, but other times you got to pull out a credit card or help in some way. So the Good Samaritan felt deep pity because he was moved with compassion and he did the right thing by helping somebody who couldn't help themselves. Here's what I want you to see this morning. His actions literally saved the life of that injured Jewish man. Can I get a witness here this morning? He saved his life. How many of you, if you were laying by the side of the road, you wouldn't really care who was helping you as long as your life was saved? Weak amen. Give me a strong amen. 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 In other words, if you're ebbing, if death is that close, I don't care who's going to help me as long as somebody helps me. Now, Jesus asked this question of the lawyer now. He told the story and he said this, "Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" And the expert in law replied, he said, "I've got the answer to that." He said, "The one who had mercy on him." Now, mercy means love in action. So mercy isn't just love, but it means love in action. And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Say with me this morning, "Go and do likewise." In other words, mercy is love in action. He said, do the same thing that the Good Samaritan did. How many like this story so far? Amen? Still with me here? All right. Now, the story of the Good Samaritan is the story of being a blessing. And we're talking this morning, we're blessed to be a blessing. And as I was studying this story that I have just read so many times in my life and been taught so many times in my life, I just began to write down some things and I thought, okay, I'm just going to make a list of what really happened here. And I thought I'm going to get 5 or 6 points maybe, you know, but I actually came up with 10 things that set the Good Samaritan apart. What are the things that set the Good Samaritan apart from the priest and the Levite? That was my question. And I just began to read the story again and start writing down what I observed. All right. Number one, he looked on the injured man with compassion rather than being repulsed and looking away. He looked with compassion on that injured man. How many believe that we need to have the same kind of compassion in our lives? In other words, not only did he look, well, there's an accident. No, but he looked with compassion and pity on that person rather than just being repulsed and look and saying, "I don't want to get involved," and walking away. Secondly, he went to where the injured man was. The priest and the Levite saw him, but they crossed away on the other side. They walked away from him. But the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, walked right to where he was. In other words, he came down to his level when he couldn't help himself. And always remember this, that Jesus came down to our level when we couldn't help ourselves. Can I get a witness here this morning? By the way, Jesus is a type of good Samaritan that you find in this story. He came to where we were. And then here's the next thing that he did. Number three, he kneeled to help the injured man. He kneeled down to help the injured man. So he came down into his world right where he was at. Now, the other night, Wednesday night here at Harvest Church, I went back to the MPR room and a couple of little kids were playing back there that I know, a couple little twin girls, and their name are Brooklyn and London. And now they're 3 years old, all right? Brooklyn and London. I don't know if we have a picture of them. There they are, Brooklyn and London. So they're identical twins, and I've known them since they were born because they were born prematurely, and they weighed about 4 pounds, I think it was, just right at 4 pounds, maybe three pounds and something. I could hold them in your hand right from the wrist to forward. You could hold them right there in your hand. So I've always wanted these kids to be friends of mine because I'm an identical twin myself. So as they've been growing up now, they are just rambunctious as can be, just running like little three-year-olds do. But for me to get their attention, to come into their world, I can't really be at this level. What I do is I kneel down. And I kneel down, and then as soon as I kneel down, that was a different response, and they came to me. I said, "How old are you now?" "Brooklyn, 3 years old." "How old are you, London?" "I'm three years old." And then we would talk, and because I want them to be my friend, you know, and they're such wonderful little energetic little kids. But in order for me to relate to them, I had to come down to their level. And many times that's what the Good Samaritan is. He came down, and that's what Jesus did for us. He came down to our level when we couldn't come up to his. Amen. Hallelujah. Number four, he touched the injured man, applying oil and wine. Just as Jesus had that compassionate touch, just as the Good Samaritan had that compassionate touch, we must have a compassionate touch for people as well. We live in a world right now that is very high tech, but less and less, not very high touch. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And our high tech is taking away the touch factor from us. People need to be touched. They need to be, by that I'm talking about engaged with. Honestly, people right now are doing text messages while you talk to them. And I'm not talking about me. That happens all the time to me while I'm preaching. But the score is here. ESPN is not a version of the Bible. Can I get a witness? Amen. But I mean, I'm used to that. I mean, we're like just on a race for people's attention. But I'm talking about in every day. I was in a Chipotle several months ago, and it was the day you walk in, and the line's all the way to the back corner, you know, so you get in line waiting with everyone else. And I looked ahead of me, and I go, "Look, Barbara, what do you see in this line?" Every single person was on their phone. They were not talking to each other. They're looking at their phone. "I wonder what happened on Facebook today. Did somebody like me?" And how many of you know that everybody's life on Facebook is better than your own life? You know, like, wow. You're sending pictures from Hawaii and everything, like, oh man, I guess, what am I doing in my life? You know, wow, you know. Their kids are all above average and better looking. They have better lighting on their photos. I guarantee you, there's a lot of deleted photos that get out of the way before you see the one that's on there. But as it should be. Can I get a witness? Okay. He touched the injured man and he applied oil and wine. And by this, in other words, he helped that person along with the oil and wine. He even helped him with the medication and the whole thing. But he got involved in his life that was way past digital. If I can say that here this morning. Number five, he transported the injured man on his own donkey. He transported him. And if you want to be like the Good Samaritan, there's many times you're going to have to transport people to get them where they need to go because they don't have their own transportation. He did it on his own donkey, but you're going to have to do it with your own Honda or your own Toyota or your own Ford or your own Chevy or your own Dodge or your own Lexus or your own Mercedes, your own BMW, or your own Land Rover or whatever it might be, or your own Tesla. I don't know what it'll be. If it's a Tesla, I want to ride along when you transport. Can I get a witness anyway? And it was his own. In other words, sometimes we don't want to use our own stuff to be a blessing. It was his own donkey, and he says, we're going to use this. God gave it to us. We're going to use it to be a blessing to others. Then the sixth thing is he provided shelter and food by taking him to an inn, I-N-N. He provided for him shelter and food. I've had to do this so many times in our ministry through the years. Been a minister now for 27 years, but even before, providing shelter and food for people who really had a need for shelter and food. And I thank God for everyone in this room that helps to work with ministries such as the Dream Center and feeding ministries and homeless ministries and all the ways that we can get involved with helping people. That is the hands of Christ extended. Then he paid the bill at the front desk of the inn, and he offered to pay more if necessary. So he paid the bill at the front desk. There's been many times I pay the bill at the front desk for somebody that's hurting and somebody that's down, or pay their gas. The other day I was in I was meeting with a missionary, and I started filling up missionaries' gas tanks about 20 some years ago. I call it a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, just a cup of cold gasoline in the name of Jesus. And I fill up their car so they can keep on itinerating. But I had one stop by. He builds buildings all over the world in Cambodia and stuff, and filled his car up the other day. He said, "Man, I can tell you on two fingers how many times it's happened in my whole life." And he said, "Just thank you so much for just being a blessing for a small thing, you know." The other morning I was standing in line. I was at a conference in here in Sacramento, our district council on Monday and Tuesday, and I went to a Starbucks, and I know that's part of my day thing, you know what I mean? I get a coffee. I just got to confess. I do have that bad habit of being hooked on Starbucks coffee, but I just order plain coffee, okay? I don't order the $8 caramel macchiato spinner thing, whatever that is. But anyway, I was there, and there was a policeman standing right next to me. I could tell he was a policeman because it said, you know, sheriff or whatever it was, and he was heavily armed. He walked into Starbucks, and he was right ahead of me. So after he ordered, I just said, "Hey, I've got that." And he goes, "You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that." And then I said to him, "You know what? You don't have to do what you do either. But I'm sure glad that you do. I'm glad that you step in the gap for us every day. And a coffee is the least we can do to show you some... a blessing." Can I get a witness? Amen? I mean, it's not going to make me poor, and it's not going to make him rich, but it'll bless him. Anytime you can lift up a person, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Man, I'll tell you, has anyone ever bought food for you, bought lunch for you at a restaurant? Doesn't the food always taste better when somebody else pays for it? I mean, honestly, it does. It's just a principle. And in other words, when you do that, it tastes sweeter to that person. Oh my goodness. And anyway, what number am I on? I'm a number 8. He returned. Watch this now. He paid the bill in full, but watch this now. The Good Samaritan is a type of Christ. You talk about scriptures, typology is a whole other thing you can take a look at, the types in the Bible. But how many of you know that Jesus paid the price at the front desk for us when we needed food and shelter? He gave his life and paid the price. And many times when you're doing that, you're helping to pay the price as a Good Samaritan for that other person. You're giving them something they don't have on their own. Now, number 8, he returned to the inn to check up on the injured man's progress. Now watch this. This is one area where many times we drop the ball, and that's in checking up on someone else's progress after we've blessed them. Many times we kind of go like, okay, I got the bill paid, got that taken care of, now I can drive away, and I don't have to even think about this anymore. But when we go back and say, hey, how are you doing? I talked to you last week. Are you getting along better? That's a double blessing to the person, and they'll remember it for a long time. Just about a week or two ago, I've been having some dental work, and I went into the dentist and got my tooth repaired, actually a crown replaced, and anyway, so about just a few days later, the dentist himself called me up. I'm only used to the assistant calling me up, but the dentist himself called me. Hey, Perry, how you doing? Just wanted to check in with you. How's that tooth that we installed? Is everything going okay? My goodness, you know what? Guess who I'm going back to for the dentist right now? I mean, he called me up personally. Not just, I would have been happy with his assistant just calling me up, but he called me up personally. That personal touch that we have makes all of the difference in the world. Sometimes it's just a phone call. Sometimes it's just a card. Sometimes it's just a little thing that we do, but it makes all the difference in the world to the persons on the receiving end. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen? So he returned to see how he was doing. How you doing? Number 9, he ministered to a person who was much different than him. He ministered to a person who is much different from him. Here's the Samaritan who's despised, ministering to the Jewish person who really, they had the game, they were game on. We're Jewish, pure Jewish. He was injured there. He probably couldn't even talk. But the Samaritan ministered to someone who's completely different. And this person, while healthy, could have said to him, you're despised. He could have looked down on him. He could have just dissed on him. But instead, he said, I'm going to walk by. All they ever do is put me down. But he walked to him when he saw that he was injured, and he said, I'm going to help him out. How many of you know that when we help people, we're also going to have to help people who are different than us? When someone is hurting or their life is on the line, we don't ask them what their party affiliation is. Hey, are you Democrat, Republican, Independent? No, before I can help you, I just got to know. We don't ask what their denomination is. We don't ask what their religion is. We don't ask what their nationality is. We don't even ask them if they're good or bad or whether they're saved or lost. Sometimes we don't even ask what their name is. All we know is they've got a problem. They need help. And we simply minister to them right where they're at. Can I get a witness? Amen. Right where they're at. When they need help, we help them. Number 10, at the end of the day, he saved. This sets him apart from the priest and the Levite. He saved the injured man's life. If they'd have walked by them, the priest and the Levite, if that was the end of the story, that man is a dead man. But because of the Good Samaritan coming along, kneeling down, having compassion, that man got to live another day of life. He got to recover from his injuries. So that's what God is calling us to be, everyone here this morning. Not just kind, but also going to where the need is and being a good Samaritan. And when you're a good Samaritan, you're going to be just like Jesus. Hallelujah. So the question becomes here this morning, who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is anyone along the road of life who needs a helping hand. That's our neighbor. Well, I'm almost done speaking here this morning. A lot of people say, you know, man, I love God, Pastor Perry, but I just don't like people. People just bother me. They get on my nerves. But hey, everybody, we are in a people world, and we are in the loving people business. Can I get a witness? Amen? In fact, the Bible says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So, and he has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must love his brother. That's the word of the Lord this morning. Okay, everyone, now listen to this clear question here this morning. How many of you know, how many of you in this room, seriously, you love God? Can I get a witness? Amen? Then God says this, if you love God, whoever loves God must also love his brother or his sister. You've got to love people. Can't get away from it. Hallelujah. Now, the gear is down. We're ready to land the plane. Remember the lawyer's answer to Jesus when he said, you know, what do you make of the law? How do you read it? And he answered him this. He said, love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, in other words, that boiled down to loving God and loving others. And Jesus said, right, do this and you will live. Today, Jesus says the same thing to us. Do this and you will live. Love God fervently and love others the same way. He says, do this and you're going to really live. Greg Laurie put out a little post. I just saw it last night. So I kind of, he's a great pastor in Riverside, California. What a different world it would be if we would start blessing instead of blasting others. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. So we are blessed, no doubt about it, but we're blessed to be a blessing. Today, the word of the Lord is, you are blessed to be a blessing. And if you receive that today, give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Would you do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand with me all across the room this morning. God bless you. You've been so easy to share with this morning. Amen. I saw someone in the auditorium this morning. They were having the best sleep of their life. They were just sacked out. Sacked out. And I go like, well, if you're going to sleep somewhere, you might as well sleep in church. You know, just, I'm glad you're here. But they were having the best sleep this morning. The message will be on digital tomorrow. You can just get it and listen to it and see what you missed. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. I say that with a smile. I went through some of the best years of my life sleeping on my mother's knee while my dad would preach, you know. But man, it kept me. Last week, I had someone come up to me at district council who had been in our church and spoke in our church, and I get this over and over and over again. But they said, Pastor Perry, there is something different about the spirit at Harvest Church and something different about what you feel, the love that you feel when you walk into the room, how engaging the people are, and how much they just press into the Word of God. So easy to preach to and also so enthusiastic. They receive the Word gladly. And he just said, it's just, you just got to know him. He says, I'm in a different church and different place over and over and over. He said, I've just hardly ever seen a church that's quite like Harvest Church. And I get this kind of report over and over again. How many of you would rather say that that's a sweet church than that's a sour church? Can I get a witness? Amen. In other words, I don't want to be known as the first church of the frigid air. Can I get a witness? Amen. In other words, everybody's just cold there and like, wow. No. And I don't want anyone to be able to get out of this place without somebody touching you and somebody saying hi to you and somebody giving you a hug or extending a handshake or whatever it is. That's who we are. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is you are on the right track and God has done something precious on the inside of you. You're doing such a good job. But how many of you know, even if you're doing a good job, we can do a better job. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. We can be, even if you are Christ-like, even if we are Christ-like, you can be even more like Christ. And let me just say this about Harvest Church as well. We are not a perfect church. Let me tell you why we're not a perfect church, because I attend here. We're not a perfect church. Can I get a witness? Amen. The minute we walked into the room, something is not perfect anymore. But how many of you are reading what I'm saying here this morning? We are not perfect, but we're following somebody who is perfect, and he's working out his perfection in our lives. So if you don't always get it right, you get up, you know, pray and get up and keep on going for God, because he's going to help you. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. And as it pertains to how we treat other people, treat them kindly. I had my hair cut the other day, and I'm more and more getting less to cut. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and then the girl that cut my hair, we talked, and she told me about her family and about her husband and the kids and stuff. She was the age of my daughter, It was over at the Sport Cuts, okay, where you can get your hair cut in about 8 minutes flat. Boom, just like that. But anyway, so I got through the cut, but then I left her a $10 tip. And then she saw it when I, you know, left. She go, "Oh, man, alive. You know, thank you so much. How many of you know that you can't pay your bills with kindness? Can I get a witness? You actually need money to do that." And so, in other words, you go, "Oh, Pastor Perry, you could have just given her $5 and think you'd have saved yourself $5. Like, what would have I done with $5? Go buy a caramel macchiato or something, or what, you know what I'm saying? And I would have spent it on something, but she could actually pay a bill if I gave her $10. In other words, why did you do that? Well, because I'm able to do that. In other words, that $10 wasn't going to minus my life at all. And so when you can be generous with people, especially service people that are doing a good job around you, bless them. And God will bless you right back. It's not to hold on to, it's to be a blessing. And then when somebody's hurting, you can really lift them up in the name of Jesus. Man, there would be so many instances, but I think everyone in this place has some kind of a story of how you've been a blessing to one another and how much of a difference it made, not in just in their lives, but how it made a difference in your life as well. Okay, I'm all done. Let's sing a song here this morning, and this will be a prayer kind of a song for God to use us, to give ourselves away so that he can use us, all right? Would you lead us, Jeanette? Take my...